影分身の術。
Hi, welcome to the Anime Bar Podcast. I'm Jimsta.
And I'm Alley Cat.
And we're two friends who love anime, love cocktails, and decided to do a podcast all about it. This week is a little different, and it's a special episode because today is actually National Anime Day. So we're doing something a little different, so we're taking a break from Psychopaths. But on that note, Alley Cat, what cocktails do we have today?
This week, we are drinking our favorite cocktails from our past 10 episodes. I'm having the Hemitrophic Butterfly, and Jimsta is enjoying the Correct Koro Sensei.
And I feel like you can't go wrong with any of the past 10 cocktails we've had.
Oh, yes, you can.
Well, I enjoyed all of them, or I drank all of them. So.
But that one, the violet one, I would say I hated the most.
I wonder who picked that cocktail.
I know, it was my pick. It's on me. But anyways, if you want to try out the recipe, any of our recipes, it's posted on our TikTok at the Anime Bar.
And if you make any of these at home, we love to see your pictures. So please stitch us on TikTok or tag us on Instagram or Twitter. Drink up
and let's get started.
So since this is a very special episode of the Anime Bar, we decided to go over season 2 of Assassination Classroom and season 2 of Hunter x Hunter. So starting up, we're going to do Assassination Classroom. So as always, there will be some spoilers. So if you haven't seen season 2 of Assassination Classroom, it is streaming on Funimation and probably Crunchyroll if you want to watch on the worst version. But if you haven't had a chance to watch the second season of Assassination Classroom yet, you can skip to this time, 43-minute mark, and we will be on Hunter x Hunter. So, season 2 of Assassination Classroom. Summer is ending and we're starting the second half of the school year. And our class is kind of still trying to think of ways to kill Koro Sensei. And this is kind of like a filler episode thing I'm going to talk about real quick, but I loved it so much. One of the plans to kill Koro Sensei is they're building a giant, it's like a gelatin pudding thing filled with bombs.
Somehow I knew that that would be like your favorite episode. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, Jimsta's going to like tell me about this.
I loved it so much. I was going through my notes and I was rewriting notes for season 2 because I was going to be talking about Assassination Classroom. And I was like, oh, this is such not a major point. It doesn't move the story any bit, but I love the pudding thing. I wanted to eat it. It looks so delicious.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of upset that was and I forgot her name, but green haired girls, that was like her first big plan. I was like, ugh, oh, whatever. But I mean, it was cute.
Yeah. Oh, her name's Kayano. And I only know that because of later in the season. But knowing what I know now about her character, this is such a weird episode for her character. I don't want to spoil it because I'm kind of going in some kind of order while I'm talking. So just note that this was a weird episode, but Jimsta enjoys a giant pudding snack.
I think the good thing about Assassination Classroom is that they do have like these filler episodes that go away from their characters, you know? Like, and they have moments that it seems like it breaks away from the characters. Like, we've seen Karma be a lot goofier, even though you'd think that he's just like this straight, like grumpy, you know, kid, crazy kid. But he has really silly moments that kind of just remind us like these are still kids. So I feel like this pudding thing is not out of the realm because in the end, no matter what, like, even though we know what we know later, she's still a kid, you know?
Yeah, I also enjoy that this is government funded pudding making. Like, the government paid for all the ingredients and for this giant mold to be made. And it definitely is if you're like, it's a rainy day and you're just chilling out like on the couch, this is a great just chill episode to watch. I believe this is the second episode, but we move on. And this sounds like it's not important, but it is, because we're going to talk about Itsuna. And if you don't remember who Itsuna is, he's the little kid, I guess he's, I don't know, little kid, class, other class person. And he has the tentacles for his hair. And he's like, Koro Sensei is my brother. That's Itsuna. But we start off with Koro Sensei is being framed as a underwear thief. And I love this so much.
I just can't. I remember he was like so shocked that the students would even like consider him for that. But it's like, you've been a pervert throughout the whole show. I don't know why he was like, he suddenly felt like that's how you guys look at me.
There's a part, and of course we know he's being framed, and you can sense it when you're watching the episode. You're like, definitely Koro Sensei would be doing this. But one of the kids in the classroom finds the roll call sheet and he's like, look, he's been writing all the cup sizes of all the female students in here. And and for what's her name, Kayano, it says like no boobs or like zero. Yeah.
No, it was like never, we'll never have boobs or something, like flat forever, I think is what it was.
Yes, and I'm just like, it's mean, but I just, it comes up a lot, like this joke about her not having boobs ever. It's a running gag, and I'm sorry, I laugh every time.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'll laugh, but it's running gag. It's either big boob jokes or no boob jokes. But you know what? We're not out here having, you know, big dick jokes and little dick jokes. I need more representation, people.
I mean, well, next anime you pick, make it full of dicks.
Dicks everywhere.
But as we expected, this turns out to be a trap, framing Koro-sensei being the underwear thief. It's a trap.
It's a trap!
To catch Koro-sensei, and the trap set by, I don't know his name, the ninja guy, and Itona. And basically, they duke it out, and at the end of it, Itona fails in his assassination attempt of Koro-sensei. And ninja guy's basically like, I'm kind of done with you. Or he's like, I'm done with you, but Koro-sensei's like, I'm over all this crap. Itona's coming with me. He's one of my students. He's gonna join me. And kind of ending this kind of little arc for Itona is that he ends up joining the class and they cure him of his tentacle things. And we find out that I guess if it's not too late for you to have tentacles, they can be removed from your body.
Oh yeah. And then wasn't it like there's like this big risk that he would die from it though or something?
Yeah, because the tentacles can only, like, they accept the host or they reject the host. And you need like the certain right body, and Koro-sensei had the right body for it. So
yeah, he did.
Oh, we'll get to there. Don't worry, we'll get to that point. I won't gloss over it. But
I do think that it's cute that, like, Itona is, like, another student thrown away in joining E-class. So that whole, I guess, theme with the ninja guy, you know, being done with him and basically saying, like, you failed me or you were weak or whatever. It already gives him something in common with Class 3.
Yeah, Class 3 is, like, the misfits. And especially rewatching this, because I rewatched it for this episode of the podcast, I'm really enjoying like how everyone is a misfit, but they're all kind of, we're misfits together and we're banging together and we're helping each other out, which is what they do for Itona. Because after he fails ninja guy, they have to calm him down to be able to remove the tentacles, and I want to say his name Tarasaka and his little his group kind of take Itona under their wing and calm him down, and he's becoming one of the the Tarasaka gang people.
It's the cutest with his little headband too that he ends up wearing all the time,
which again, that's anti Koro-sensei fabric. What, rewatching this show, there's a lot of anti Koro-sensei things that I feel like we could have just wrapped him up in. We could have killed him a while ago.
There is a lot of times that I watch this that I'm like, yeah, like he should have been dead by now. If it wasn't such a cute show, he totally would have been dead.
But after Itona joins the class, midterm time comes along, and there's a filler episode of the class helping out this old man in his school, which causes him not being able to study, and they all drop in spots except for Karma. Karma does really well on his midterms,
because this time he learned from the last failure in season one. I like the callbacks that they do to it a lot, that they don't completely abandon plot lines, unlike Hunter x Hunter that we'll get to.
I've seen your Hunter x Hunter notes. It doesn't look like any plot line was abandoned,
just because I follow the ones that didn't get abandoned.
But like you're saying, Karma was pushed to do better this time because he slacked off. And this is kind of a cool scene where the principal's son, and I don't remember his name, comes up to Class 3E and is like, you guys are all lame and you're losers because you all dropped in the midterms. Why were we even worried about you? And Karma does this cool thing where he's like, oh, we gave you a freebie. We didn't want to hurt you that bad. So we all kind of pulled back this test to make you guys feel good, but we're only doing it once. So don't expect to get an easy win over us again. And then the kids get new outfits, which I loved because they just kind of look cool. I thought they were space gear. When I first googled Assassination Classroom while we were watching it, I saw them in these outfits and I thought they were going to space.
Yeah, I remember you kept saying that over and over and over, and I just like, oh, I can't say anything.
Well, it's because they go to space.
Well, they do,
but that's later, guys.
But that's not why they got the new outfits though.
No, these are like the government's giving them these cool new assassinating style outfits. I don't know, they're more like streamlined military uniform looking things. But at this point we kind of go into a Yelovich storyline, and Yelovich quits being a teacher for a bit because she's developed feelings for Karasuma. And Karasuma is, do you think he has feelings for her, or is he just oblivious, or is he denying his love?
I think he was just too focused. He's focused on the mission and what's coming up. So yeah, I think Yelovich, like, to me, it was like she threw a temper tantrum over hurt feelings.
I kind of get it though, because she talks about, like, I'm an assassin and I let, like, my feelings get in the way. I do feel like she let her guard down too much and now she's feeling stupid about it, and that's why she's so upset.
Oh yeah, but she's feeling vulnerable, but then coming up, I just feel like her reaction to it and then her plan to it is, like, way more evil than it should have been, and that it gets forgiven a little too easily.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's kind of weird because of what happens. Yelovich quits, like I said, and then the Reaper shows up. I think we mentioned the Reaper last time, kind of towards the end of season one, and the Reaper is like this class A assassin, Killua level assassin. But he shows up and he kidnaps Yelovich. But this is all planned to lure the students into a trap, to lure Koro Sensei into a trap. I guess use the students as bait to lure Koro Sensei in there.
Which we know is, like, we've seen anytime the kids have been used as bait or, like, put in danger first, usually Koro Sensei loses his mind. So this is one of those, like, I felt like was out of character just to make this plot line move moments.
The kids get there and they see Yelovich all tied up, and, you know, their first reaction is like, oh my gosh, this is where she's been the whole time. We have to save her. She's double crossed them. She's actually working for the Reaper and she traps the kids in, like, this cell. I was shocked.
Yeah, it was, I thought she was gonna go, when she initially went off, I thought she was just gonna go off on her own. So to see her totally betray them was shocking.
A lot happens. The kids kind of do some things, but eventually Koro Sensei comes in, gets trapped along with them as well, but he doesn't come alone. He brings Kurosuma along with them, and they are able to take down the Reaper. They kill the Reaper and they save Yelovich. She gets crushed. She doesn't get crushed, but she gets injured by some debris, and they save her. And the class is like, you better come back to school tomorrow or something like that, or you can't take any more vacation time. Basically being like, we forgive you for trying to kill us. And that's just the assassin's life, people being backstabbed and betrayed.
Yeah. I guess once these kids like you, there's literally nothing you can do to get them away from you.
Yeah, and I just feel like there should have been some punishment. I mean, Koro Sensei punished her back in season one for trying to kill him. Remember the tentacles?
I was gonna say, you just want more tentacle scenes.
I mean, this whole season's about tentacles, I feel like. We're gonna get more tentacles later in the season. But as we move on, Class 3E is, I don't even know why they're doing this, but because they're middle schoolers, but they're figuring out what career they want to do for the rest of their life. And do you think that's like a Japan thing where it's like high schools are specialty schools?
Yeah, I don't ever know. I haven't taken the time to look into like the school system, but I do know it doesn't correlate like the same as us. So when they're saying they're middle schoolers, I think they get to, like, I don't know, because it's not like they're going to college next. They're still going to high school, but it always seems hard. Like in animes, it always seems like it's harder to get into high schools. Like there's a chance that you can get into a bad school that'll like ruin your whole life. So I don't understand why it's like this big decision on your high school.
Yeah, I didn't get it, because it seemed like it feels like, I don't know if you ever did this, but we took like the career kind of test. I don't know if we took a career test, but we had a day where we were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then you go meet someone who does that career. But that was in like my junior or senior year of high school.
Oh no, we never did that.
Well, we did something like that. So I just figured this was really early on for them. And everyone's kind of trying to figure out their career. Nagisa is considering being an assassin because he's like really good at being an assassin.
Oh yeah, and I remember, wasn't Koro Sensei like, you know, well, go back and think about it, and if you really want to do it, then come back and talk to me.
Yeah, basically he told Nagisa that like, you want to, the way you are an assassin is you put your life at risk and you like, you don't value your own life. So he wants him to reflect upon that and then really see if he wants to be an assassin. And this news does not go, Nagisa doesn't tell his mom that he wants to be an assassin, but Nagisa doing so bad on the midterm exams angers his mom to like Super Saiyan level angry.
Yeah, she's pretty like, this is one of the darker moments I feel like in this show where we find out how like physically and mentally abusive she is.
Yeah, basically she's putting all her dreams of when she was in school, when she was Nagisa's age, onto him, even to his hair. And that's how we find out why he has such long, kind of feminine hair. It's because his mom wanted that hairstyle when she was a kid, but she could never have it. So now she forces him not to cut his hair and kind of have that long hair.
And she wanted a daughter too, right?
Yes. And I didn't write this in my notes, but she goes up to talk to the teacher of class 3E, but Kurosuma is on vacation or not in town. So Koro Sensei dresses up like Kurosuma and has a meeting with Nagisa's mom. And this is a point where he's like, oh, I can see where Nagisa gets his good looks because I see you. And that's when his mom's very like, she's kind of like fawning over Nagisa and being like, oh, he is so pretty. And like, I truly wanted a daughter. Like, I always wanted a daughter. That's like, I don't know. I feel like you don't say those things in parent teacher meetings.
Yeah, she definitely showed her crazy in that parent teacher meeting. So, I mean, I guess it was a good thing because Koro Sensei was quickly able to see how insane she is. But you know what? I feel like in real life, you see a lot of insane moms with their kids. And you're just like, that kid is screwed for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely that thing of like a parent putting their dreams on their child when that child just kind of is still trying to figure themselves out. But at the end of this meeting, Koro Sensei kind of is just like, I'm not letting Nagisa, Koro Sensei dress up as Kurosuma is like, I'm not letting Nagisa leave class 3E unless he wants to leave. This pisses off Nagisa's mom again. Now she's like super, super Saiyan angry. And
yeah, because why would he be able to choose his happiness for himself? You know?
And it kind of just leads to this like argument when they get back home. Kind of argument, kind of just this passive thing. They're back at home. Nagisa falls asleep and then wakes up and he's outside of Class 3E's building. And his mom is like, we're setting this on fire.
She really needs to be in jail. Because I think she drugged him, didn't she? Or like...
something.
Because he slept pretty hard.
Something.
So I thought there was like that scene, like they were eating or drinking something. I don't remember. And it seemed like she drugged him.
Yeah, I believe they are like sitting down for dinner. And then it does that thing where you're like, the character's eyes get heavy and like the screen goes black.
Yeah.
Yeah, then he wakes up and she's like, we're setting this building on fire. Or more importantly, she says, you're setting this building on fire. Because if you burn it down, they're going to have to take you back at the main campus and you won't be able to see your friends again because you'll be so ashamed that you're the one who burned down the building.
Which just shows how messed up. It kind of makes me wonder if like she didn't somehow trick the father into having a baby so she can achieve her dreams, because she seems like that level of crazy.
Well, Nagisa's dad is, I believe they're divorced, and we met his dad at the beginning of this season and he seems pretty chill. He also is like, I understand that your mom can be a handful.
Ugh, more than a handful.
Well, yeah, this lady's
he must have not seen her true crazy.
Or he saw it and he's like, oh, that's... But then that's sad. If he knew it and then left Nagisa, I feel like that's sad.
Yeah.
But during this moment, assassin comes out. Like, not one of the classmates, but a third-party assassin comes out trying to get the bounty on Koro Sensei. And he basically is like, I can't kill any of the kids or I won't get the bounty, but I can kill Nagisa's mom, because she's like, I gotta call the cops. I mean, I guess that's the right thing. I guess I'm mocking her, but that would be a reasonable thing to do. Yeah. Sorry, Nagisa's mom, who wanted to burn down this building.
She doesn't deserve sorries.
This is cool though, because Nagisa's like, I got this, mom. And he does the Lovro hand clap thing, incapacitating this assassin, which is, I'm like, maybe this is a point to like, you should be an assassin.
Yeah, there was a lot of time. I mean, we'll get to what he, you know, get to it later, but I feel like he should have been.
Should have been an assassin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll find out what ends up to Nagisa at the end of the season. Koro Sensei comes out and basically is like, because Nagisa's mom's freaking out, like, what is going on? He's like, oh, there's a lot of hoodlums out here in the woods, so we gotta be careful. And she passes out. Koro Sensei takes them home, and this is where Nagisa is like, I don't think I want to be an assassin. Then we get to a filler episode, which I'm not going to talk about except for this little thing that it's season 2, episode 10. The episode's called School Festival Time. It is a filler episode, but all these minor characters from season 1, the assassins we met in the hotel, Lovro, the red-eyed assassin guy, everyone comes back, and these are like small roles, and they're all kind of silly, but it's just fun seeing all these minor characters come back and how they interact when they're not trying to kill each other.
Yeah, it was a really cute episode. And then we have more Nagisa dressed as a girl to trick that. Well, he does end up revealing that he was really a boy the whole time, but it was to trick that rich kid.
Hey, he gave up smoking those strange cigarettes, as he calls them.
Yeah, and so it was just all around, I feel like, not quite fan service-y, but it was just almost like an OVA episode to me with how cute it was.
Yeah, so again, rainy day, you just want to chill on the couch with your dog or your cat or ferret or turtle, whatever animal you have, and you just want to watch an episode and you don't care about storyline. This episode 10, school festival time, that's one to just sit back and chill. We move on. It's the end of term and they have their final exams. And I'm not really going to talk about them studying about the exams. I'm just going to talk about how much I love the when they jump into, I guess, their minds or their imaginations, and they're fighting the problems. Like, the problems are monsters and they're fighting them with their assassination techniques. I love that so much.
Yeah, I could honestly like watch an anime like that. Just like an anime about high school kids studying and then all their studies are monsters and stuff. I think that would be really cute.
Oh, it's so fun to watch, and it's so fun to like kind of see them in their element, even though we know that they're sitting down at a desk taking a test. It's cool seeing this kind of, they go into this other world and the problems are real. I also love, we get Ritsu's proxy again in this episode, and it's just Ritsu's proxy, that character, I want more of it. I don't get enough of her.
I love that they're motivated, like she was motivated to do her best like this time. So it wasn't just like, oh, this is the ugly character in the background. They kind of like, I guess her dad is like one of the agents or part of the government, so they gave a little bit of background, and I thought it was adorable.
She's also the one that spurs them on, because this exam is the hardest it's ever been. The principal has this vendetta against class 3E, so he's made the exam extremely hard, and all the kids are having problems with it. And then they see what they think is Ritsu, but she turns around and it's the fake Ritsu, and she's like, Ritsu informed me of what we need to do, and like, us people who have lower average grades, we need to do our best so we can raise the average up. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do this. And it was just a fun thing moment to watch. And at the end of the exams, class 3E's goal that Koro Sensei gave them was to make the top 50 on this exam. And because it's anime and all these characters are main characters, they all make it in the top 50, which pisses off the principal so much.
I think this was like, so usually you feel like predictable with animes, but with Koro Sensei letting them fail the last one, this one I had a little more emotion for, because I was like, are they gonna make it or are they not? I felt like that this anime really did suspense well, because they could have easily not made it and he still would have loved them, you know?
I understand that, but I really feel like they need to graduate, right? They can't stay in class 3E forever. So the anime's got to give them a shove. I mean, if Tarasuka, I was worried about Tarasuka. I was like, I don't know but once I found out he made it, I was like, everyone else made it for sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, though, the principal is super upset about this, and he basically comes down to the 3E building and is like, Koro Sensei, you're fired. And he challenges him to, I don't know, would you call it like a duel? It's this weird test taking thing with bombs involved.
Yeah, I would just, it's a challenge.
And the challenge is that Koro Sensei has to complete these regular exams that the students take. And if he finishes it within a certain time, then bombs explode and kills the principal. And if he doesn't, then bombs will explode and kill him. And of course, Koro Sensei finishes the test in time, because he actually memorized these exact tests. So he already knew the answers for it, which, you know, set the bombs off on the principal. But since it's Koro Sensei, he can't let I don't know if the principal's an innocent guy, but he can't let him die, so he sheds his skin and throws it over the principal, saving the principal's life. But right before the bombs are gonna go off for the principal, Koro Sensei's like, what does it feel like to know death is like just minutes or like seconds away from you? And we get a couple flashback episodes where we learn about the principal's backstory.
I loved these episodes. One, it was more seeing the hot principal. And two, it was seeing more of like the human side of him.
I don't know your hotness scale. I don't think I can like get it. You said the ant people in Hunter x Hunter were hot.
I did not say that they were hot.
I don't see it. You're just like, I said sexy ants.
I said that they were like a furry's dream and that they were fuckable. The same way that people say that Pokemon are fuckable.
Who is saying this? Don't fuck my Pokemon. Don't act like that's...
It's not a new conversation. Like, people always do, like, the smash or pass for Pokemon.
What circles are you hanging around?
It's on TikTok.
Oh my gosh. I feel TikTok.
Check out our TikTok at the anime bar.
Yeah, we're not doing that unless you want us to. And then we'll do it for the views.
Smash or pass the Pokemon.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we get the flashback. Oh, okay, so I can't.
Mr. Mime.
I can't. No, Mr. pass. Mime. Pass.
Smash.
No. Oh, no. Oh my gosh. Oh, my cheeks hurt. No, pass. Mr. Mime.
Jinx.
Oh, pass. I'm not doing any of the Pokemon. I'm passing on all of them.
See, wouldn't you? Okay, no, we're going to go into Hunter x Hunter too much. Go on. Okay. Go on with with Assassination Classroom.
We go back to the principal having a flashback to when he was first starting out teaching. And we find out that he actually started this building that 3E is in. But it was a kind of like a prep school for kids who were couldn't afford a nicer prep school and needed help. I guess underprivileged kids.
Yeah, he was a really good dude. He was almost like Koro Sensei, just less pervy.
Yeah, I would say very less, maybe no perv at all, but very not humble. He always talked about how his stock portfolio was doing really well.
Yeah, I like that in a man.
Nice big stock portfolio.
I like big stocks and I cannot lie.
But he had 3 students and he did really well, and he prepared them, and they became they got into really good high schools or middle schools or whatever they were moving on to. But this is this part got me. One of his students calls him later in life. He gets a phone call from one of his foremost students, one of the 3, and the student's just trying to catching up with them and just telling him I just want to see how you're doing, principal. Or I'm gonna call him principal, he has a name but I can't remember it. But he's like, how are you doing, principal? And I'm doing fine. And he's like, we should grab lunch or dinner sometime. And then that ends the phone call, and the principal's like, well, I am gonna have work in that town there, so I should go visit him. And we find out that the kid committed suicide because he was getting picked on,
which I feel doesn't make sense. His reaction to make the school how it is, because then you still have that small percent. I guess he just decided if I can get the majority ones out there to be winners, and we just force them to commit suicide in middle school, then we won't have this problem again. It's a very weird response to how he formed the school as it is today.
I just see it that he wants to make everyone harden so that the world can't take advantage of any of these kids anymore. But then in that doing that, he really we make everyone else harden, but class 3E is we throw them away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is he's willing to, I guess, if he can minimize the amount of kids. It's weird because he picked just so young to already start picking on them and tearing them down.
And it's just I like this episode. I like these flashbacks, and that's why I brought them up, because I love because the principal's kind of our villain in this story arc that we're having so far. And I love it when you kind of learn that a villain wasn't always heartless, and they started off with really good intentions, but something out of their control has changed them, and they're trying to just protect themselves. So I really enjoyed that. All right, now I kind of want to go over this real quickly, but I don't think you're gonna. We'll see how fast I get through this part. Kaino is a tentacle person as well, and Kaino is the green-haired girl. She has tentacles, and she's been undercover this whole time because she wants revenge. Because the girl in all the flashbacks that we've seen in season 1 in Koro Sensei's arms is her sister and the former teacher of Class 3E.
Yeah, total shock move. I do love that we finally get some more backstory on Koro Sensei on this. Learning about Kayano's sister, you learn about Koro Sensei.
And I mean, I feel like I'm just glossing over this part, but if you really, I would suggest watching this Koro Sensei human 3 episodes, because it's really good. But just describing it, I don't want to say there's not much there, but there's just main parts that I'll talk about. And the first part is Koro Sensei used to be, is the original Reaper. We find out that Koro Sensei is the Reaper.
And he was also hot.
And he was also hot. I mean, I guess. I don't know. Hot? I like him more as a tentacle guy. But Koro Sensei, now I was going to say he was hot. Koro Sensei, I lost my track. Koro Sensei was the original Reaper. And the Reaper that we've met a few episodes back was his kind of protege who betrayed him and sent him to this facility to be experimented on to grow tentacles. And we also find out the real reason why we have to kill Koro Sensei. It's not because Koro Sensei is going to blow up the earth. It's because Koro Sensei is going to blow up the Earth. Because he's the bomb. Because something with the tentacles creates so much energy in you that when you explode, you blow up, like, the Earth, I guess. Because Kuro-sensei didn't blow up the moon. It was this weird hamster that they gave tentacles on a spaceship near the moon that blew up, and it blew up the chunk of the moon.
Which I feel like, because that scientist guy, the one that did it initially, he's still alive, right? And he knew that. I feel like he could have just told the government, hey, he really didn't blow up the moon, so you don't gotta do what he's saying.
I think that this is all like a government thing. Like, this is government weapons and they don't want the people to know. So if he says that, like, there's no whistleblower doing it.
Yeah, like, but people didn't know what was going on anyways.
I don't know. I'm just trying to cover up for, I don't know why I'm covering up for this abusive boyfriend. That happens, guys, in this episode, but it's like here and there. At the end of this kind of human Kuro-sensei story arc is Kuro-sensei escapes with the help of Kaino's sister, and she gets shot and she dies in his arms. And that's the scene that we're seeing all the flashbacks from. Oh, and they cure Kaino because Nagisa kisses her.
Yep. So if you were shipping that the whole time, we do get that moment for you.
Oh, and she is like into Nagisa. Just note that. After all this, the class is torn after hearing Kuro-sensei's origin story, basically, on whether to kill him or cure him. And they divide into two teams and fight each other, kind of in like a, I don't know, cops and robbers kind of thing. Some kind of like hunting game. And the cure team wins. So they have a certain time period to try to cure him and save Kuro-sensei's life and turn him back into a human. There's not much to say about this next thing, but Karma and Nagisa go to space. They're just up there getting information, but they're in space for a day.
They basically did this whole curing him plot line, and it was just a waste of time to me. Like, I feel like they could have ended up being filler episodes because you find out it's not going to help anyway. So they did all that effort. It doesn't matter. He's still going
to
blow up.
Well, by the time they decide to cure him, I mean, they can't see how many episodes is left, these characters in this show, but like, they decide to cure him and there's like seven episodes left. It's like, I don't think this is going to happen in time.
Yeah.
Karma and Nagisa go to space. They think they have enough information to save Kuro-sensei, but the government drops an anti-Kuro-sensei dome around the city. And this is kind of, now it's just public knowledge, you know, that Kuro-sensei is Kuro-sensei, and he's been teaching Class 3E, and the government's going to shoot a giant laser at him. And again, another anti-Kuro-sensei thing that could probably have killed him earlier in the season. If we have Kuro-sensei domes, why aren't we just dropping them all the time?
Oh, because wasn't the dome, it was that laser in space.
Well, the dome keeps him in a certain area, and the laser shoots down. Because he can't leave the area because he can't get through the dome.
Oh, I thought it was just like, it was a lot of effort to put up that.
Oh, maybe. Or maybe they didn't want the people to know.
Because it wasn't like a physical dome. It was like lasers or...
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a piece of plastic covering them.
No, but you could see it because the kids walked through it. Which,
yeah.
The kids decide that the government's basically told the kids to stay out of this, and the kids are like, we're gonna do it, we're gonna kill Kuro-sensei, or we're gonna save him. They don't say they want to kill him, they say they want to save him. So they go in, and we're basically on the last two episodes, and I cried so hard because they end up having to kill Kuro-sensei, and I'm gonna tear up now thinking about it. But
they do their final roll call. That, oh my god, I'm like, I was ugly crying during it, but then I was like, after a while, when he was getting halfway through the names, I was like, okay, y'all are drawing this out too long. Like, you're making me cry for too long.
This last roll call is like, yeah, I did think, because he gets halfway through and then he starts doing this speech in between the names. And
yeah, I was like, hurry up.
And Nagisa is the one to stab Kuro-sensei, and it's just like, it's worth it. This season was built, like, this season was all kind of here and there and everywhere, but like, this last roll call was just like, it was perfect. I know it was long, but I loved it, and I cried again when I watched it for this recall thing. It was great.
I feel like Nagisa's cry, and then when Karma started to cry, I like totally lost him.
And Kuro-sensei leaves him this giant book, which I thought was cute, and they graduate, and we jump into the future. The kids have bought the building, and they kind of put it up as a memorial to Kuro-sensei, and like a place to, I think it's eventually going to be a place to teach kids. And we learned that in the future, Nagisa has become a teacher just like Kuro-sensei.
And he's still short,
but still a badass. And that ends season 2 of Assassination Classroom. My only criticism of season 2, we did not get enough Sugino.
We did not need any more baseball storylines.
So
we got 2 in season 1.
Just saying, maybe a little more Sugino. you know, spinoff possibly, but I feel like you've heard my thoughts because I was the one to push us through this season. Do you have any final thoughts on this before we jump to Hunter x Hunter?
No, I mean, season two is definitely better than, I feel like, better than season one. And I feel like that's just the nature of some animes. More action, more emotion. We get over, like, introducing everybody. So if you didn't really enjoy season one, I would suggest trying to give season two a try.
And even though we talked all through season two, it's still worth a good watch. I rewatched it and I loved it again. So I say go for it if you need something to watch. Before we move on to Hunter x Hunter, if you haven't watched Hunter x Hunter, you might just want to skip the rest of this podcast. But don't forget to like follow us on our socials. We're on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at the Anime Bar. So let's jump to Hunter x Hunter.
So we'll just jump right in. So we have the Heaven's Arena arc. So this is where Gon and Killua, they arrive at Heaven's Arena. This is a place where fighters face against each other to earn money and just win glory all around. Gon and Killua plan to use Heaven's Arena as a way to make money so they can train, because remember, Gon wants to face off with Hisoka to give him his badge back. We start off on the lowest floor. So the way this arena is set up is that you keep going up on the floors the harder the matches get. So we start off on the lowest floor where they, of course, you know, kick butt. And at this time, they meet another kid their age who is also surprising. His name is Zushi. And he is currently training under a nin master named Wing.
That's his name. I just call him Glasses.
Yeah. I think of him as like the shirt untucked guy. You kind of see that he's kind of a mess, but like, I feel like that's perfect for Gon and Killua. So they find out what nin is from Zushi, and they're of course interested in it. But eventually they make their way to the second floor. No, the 200th floor, sorry. And that's where they run into, dun dun dun, Hisoka. So Hisoka basically, like, he won't let them get into the 200th floor. He's blocking them. And he says, like, you're not ready yet. So this is when Wing comes makes a comeback and is like, hey, I'll teach you guys about nin so that you guys can learn how to use ten, which is a technique that uses nin.
This ten, nin, and then the other things, techniques, they need to name them differently. Everything's kind of named so similar. And it's like, you got to use nen before you use like this, and this leads to that. I'm just like, okay, I'm confused.
Yeah, it even confused me. And then when we see Leorio later, not this season, we won't see them. When you see Leorio later, he's also clearly confused about it, because of course he is. but I actually don't blame him, because it's all confusing. I do also like that you can do, they do like personality kind of things with each skill, and you learn about it later, not quite this episode yet, but you're a nin type, and that's like the powers that you can kind of use, and you're able to do personality tests with that.
Do you remember the types?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
The types.
I was gonna ask you which one you thought you would be.
I remember, okay, Gon, Hisoka called him like, they're like simple and like straightforward or whatever, and whatever Hisoka is, his type is usually like, they matched it to the characters pretty well, like they're sneaky. But I don't think they really went into, I don't remember the what they said the other ones were. But anyways, Wing steps in, like I said before, he's gonna teach them how to use 10. The first thing that he does is he activates like some nodes, and that lets them be able to use nin. And that's when Hisoka is finally like, okay, you guys can fight. So Gon's first fight on the 200th floor is gonna be it's Gon versus Gido. Gido is basically this spinning, his powers or his specialties are like these giant spinning tops. Lots of action. I would say like all these fights, I'm gonna blaze through it, but it's action shots. At the end, Gon wins, but his ribs are cracked, so we're now delayed for 4 months while he heals. And his new Zen Master tells him, I don't want you to do, like, I don't want you to watch or do anything with, like, the matches or Zen until you heal.
I will say that, just getting this out of the way, that maybe Heaven's Arena was kind of a letdown for me, but I love the fights. So, like, when we're talking about the fights, just know that I'm, like, really into the head-on-head kind of things that are going on.
Yeah, I feel like overall plot line, that there wasn't much going on. It's really all about the fights and seeing Gon get more powerful. Meanwhile, while this is happening, we kind of flash over to Kurapika, and Kurapika is trying to, you know, make money and get close to the underground and everything, but he's blocked. They said, like, hey, you don't know how to use Zen. Kurapika now meets his new Zen master. So going back to Heaven's Arena, we have a pretty powerful fight between Hisoka and Castro. I don't remember if that's how you pronounce his name, so don't come at me.
Come at her. Come at her on Twitter.
Look, if it's nails on a chalkboard, I can't help you. So Hisoka faces off with this like really powerful opponent. The reason that it matters, the reason why I'm mentioning it, is because we find out he has his own ten zen technique, signature moves. It's a bungee gum and texture surprise. So in this, Hisoka gets his arms cut off, and he's able to use those to pretend it's still there. And then afterwards, he needs to be like healed or fixed up by this other person who can like sew on limbs. And this is where we also reveal Hisoka is part of the Phantom Troop. Dun dun dun.
I will say though, this is a side story. I had this spoiled for me by Hot Topic. I walked into a Hot Topic and they had a shirt that said Phantom Troop and it had all the members of Phantom Troop on it. And Hisoka was on there. And I was like, motherfucker, Hot Topic. I've been trying to stay away from spoilers. And they just ruined it. My friend, shout out to David, was laughing at the moment. So Hot Topic, hide your spoilery shirts from the front, please.
You know what though? It turns out it is a spoiler, but not a spoiler.
I mean,
so maybe they didn't know.
They didn't know.
So next up in this whole training thing, Gon, as we already know, we've seen he heals like faster than normal people do. So Gon heals within a month and he's able to now resume training. So this is where Killua and Gon learn Gyo, and Gyo basically lets them see other people's, like, basically their auras. It's the nin, and it's just like that. Remember when Hisoka got all horny for fighting in the first season? If and he had that purple cloud.
If you want more of that, wait. Just wait, guys.
Yeah, so that purple cloud basically was like his energy, and so this is what they're learning to see here. So Gon's finally able to watch that fight that Hisoka did and can see his bungee gum. And we also have some more newbie hunters. I don't know why this show likes these a lot, but there's these three guys. They pretty much target like the newest people on the floor to get easy wins, because as you go up you get more money, and then at some point you also get like this apartment that they let you stay in, and then you can be one of like the floor masters. And so this is their goal, is to become a floor master. Of course Gon and Killua tell them no, so they kidnap Zushi to trick them into signing up for their fights. So once Killua finds out they broke their promise to him and tricks both of them to signing up for the fights, he goes all assassin mode. We see some more badass Killua moments. So he scares off, I don't know how to say his name, but it's gonna be the white hair guy, and then he threatens the other two. They're kind of like talking shit about how like they're gonna cheat during the fight. He scares them into doing a fair fight.
I will also say, I don't know if we're gonna get into this, but we're all three guys handicapped.
I was gonna say I really like the representation in this, because we have one guy that had no arms, and then we had the other one that was in the wheelchair.
And then what about the third guy? Because isn't this white hair guy, is he the one with no arms?
I can't remember. I don't think that they all three had disabilities.
I know the two that we see fighting do have disabilities, which I thought was cool as well, because they're still, even though they're tricking kids into fighting fights, they're pretty badass fighters.
And I really like how they don't really call attention to it, right? Because it doesn't have to be like a shocking thing to see, and nobody like makes like wheelchair jokes, or their technique isn't to try to like push them out of the wheelchair. I thought that was really nice.
I know we're gonna get to it, but I also find like it's great that no one's holding back either. Like they're, yes, like, you're an equal fighter as I am, because we're both up on this level, we're on the same level together.
Yeah, definitely. So our first match with the out of the trio, remember the trio's now down to two, we have Gon versus Gido, and he recalls back to when he uses his fishing pole, so he's able to use his fishing pole to win that match. There's not a lot to say about that one. The next one is Killua, and this is gonna be the wheelchair guy. I don't want to call him that. He's gonna be the electric guy. That's his main power, as he has these like whips that has a ton of electricity, and he basically like he wrapped Killua in these whips and he starts shocking him. And I actually thought like Killua like was taking on some damage. strange. Turns out his training makes him resistant to most forms of torture. So the electricity didn't do much, and Killua was able to turn it back on him and electrocute the guy. So Killua wins that round.
I feel sad. Sometimes when we see like Killua is immune to poison and Killua is immune to electricity, I'm just like, oh, this is sad, actually. Because when you think about it, he's tortured as a kid.
Yeah. I mean, you saw him in season one, like that he stayed in that torture room for like just because he felt bad. So he was already used to all that stuff.
I'm proud that you didn't call it an S&M dungeon.
I don't think I can put S&M dungeon in the same sentence with kids. So we will leave that alone. So we have Gon versus the electric guy. So they waited a couple of days, just so you guys know. It wasn't like back to back. But we think that Gon is going to go in with the fishing pole again. Nope, he's got his own thing planned. He ends up picking up one of the floor tiles, which is like these huge like slabs of tile. And he throws it at the guy so he has to get away. And then Gon's able to jump on him and take the whips. And this is like probably one of the funniest moments to me is like I think the guy thinks he's about to get electrocuted again because Gon like he's like, I'm gonna put it all the way to high. And he's like, 1, 2, 3. And then the guy is like foaming at the mouth, like he's screaming. And Gon never even electrocuted him. So the announcer's like, technically that's a knockout.
I love that Gon does like where you pull your eyelid down or like the bottom of your eye down, stick out your tongue. I don't know what that's called. If you knew, like, let me know.
Oh, when he's like blowing a raspberry, he just does that. So Hisoka's been around, kind of hanging around the whole time, and he was watching Gon's fight, and he makes the most like perverted noises the most in this season, I feel like. But anyways, he goes up and he tells Gon, like, he congratulates Gon and he tells him that he'll fight him anytime at this point. So they pick a date, and now we have Gon versus Hisoka. Gon really, I won't go into the whole fight, I feel like that you guys should just watch it. But they start off pretty powerful, like just going back and forth on hits. And throughout these fights, there's like an announcer. But even the announcer was like, oh my god, like that was intense. I couldn't even get a word in. So it starts hard. And then after that, I feel like the whole fight turns into a lesson for Gon. And then he learns the true power of like the bungee gum. But the most important thing is he's finally able to get that punch in the face on Hisoka. He gets him a few times, but he gets one good punch to the face. And in the middle of the match, like they kind of have this moment where they're looking at each other, and then Gon walks up and Hisoka meets him in the middle of the ring, and Gon gives him the badge. And I thought that was kind of cute. It's a really cute moment. And then they go back to each side of the ring and start the match again. And everybody's confused. Like the announcer's like, what's going on? Like, what is that? In the end, Gon is starting to seem like he's losing, but I think the ref was scared that Hisoka's like really gonna kill Gon, so he starts just awarding Hisoka like tons and tons of points, because you can either die, you know, lose by knockout, or you can lose by somebody getting 10 points first. So that's what he did, is he just gave Hisoka a bunch of points, and he ends up winning. Hisoka later at the end is like, you know, we could probably do 10 more matches before you're actually ready to fight me, but I will never fight you in Heaven's Arena again, because he doesn't want the rules.
And I don't know, would it be weird if I changed my ringtone to Hisoka be like, oh, Gon?
Oh my god, it's the worst. I was rewatching it for this, you know, this episode, and I just insert the moaning here. If I can't escape, I'll go forward.
Gon. That's good. You're so very good. Those eyes, that look, that spirit. I just can't wait to break you. Oh, but no, not yet. More, until it's almost a shame to destroy you. Until you've matured.
Look at him go, huh?
Until you've reached soaring new heights. Patience.
A vicious assault!
Yeah, I feel like that would be a good sound piece. Just insert all the moaning.
Oh, man. I just... just, like, if you didn't think he was weird already, like, Hisoka talking about Gon, it's just like, I was dying and laughing and creeped out a little bit.
It's a very creepy moment, you know, and it's things like that. Like, I start to think, like, huh, now I'm starting to understand why, like, I've seen a bunch of, like, you know, Hisoka's hot post or, like, you know, fan stuff about him. But then he has those moments where he gets super creepy and I'm just like, no, nothing can make me make me like him on this.
I don't know. Wait until season 4, everyone. You might change your mind on Hisoka during Greed Island, but
yeah. we do get some naked Hisoka on Greed Island, and I'm here for it. And I was like, oh, you know. But anyways, that's the end of Heaven's Arena.
But I think on that note, I don't think we have to give these any shots. I think you guys assume that we liked Assassination Classroom and Hunter x Hunter since we finished the series of them. But next week, we're going to go back to our regularly scheduled program of Psycho Pass.
We're going
to
mentally scar you some more.
I know. I'm this week has been great. No nightmares. I've been sleeping well. And next week, nightmares again.
Week. You're not going to do well with some other animes I have lined up.
Oh. Maybe you're just going to toughen my skin. But we will be watching episodes 12 through 17 next week. And as always, you can follow us on our socials at the Anime Bar on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. And I feel like I already said like always, but again, like always. Cheers. Cheers.